He didn't surrender. He didn't work the first steps. He didn't know what got me clean and what kept me clean. You know what I mean? We were of like minds. Perhaps I was one of the more vehement. But we were of like minds. We all felt a lot that way. Not perhaps so judgmental. I'm glad there were people around to soften me up. We got the words right, yeah? You know, we got the words right to the very best of our ability. And the only thing that limited us was our ability to surrender. That was the only thing that limited us. And Memphis, you know, quick and right to it, Memphis sent that out to over 600 addresses. Narcotics Anonymous had a book, period. You know what I mean? It was approvable by the fellowship as it was. Do you know why? Because the fellowship wrote it. The fellowship wrote it. It was approvable by the fellowship right then. We doubted that. You know, because we'd all been to the World Service Conference where they believed that NA was a backdoor into something better. You know, and that's what the World Service Conference was like, the first one that I went to. It didn't seem to me like there was more than about two members of NA there. Everybody else called themselves something other than, my name is blank, I'm an addict. Well, member, what fellowship are you? You know, what do you belong in the World Service Conference for? That's what happened in my head. I didn't say that because, you know, I was older and couldn't talk. Okay, what happened was is that we fed on this spirit, this thing that we'd learned, this thing called recovery, this thing that taught us about including, and we asked folks, we included in here a review input form, send in what's missing. You know, we want our basic text to include everything that we can have it include. And people had little workshops and big workshops in groups and areas and regions around the country and sent stuff in. And it all came... Okay, let me describe the process. First time I saw the book, it was photocopies that I got from... a big case that came down into a tiny little case after they were compressed because I didn't need to carry around a big case for impact. and that helped. That helped.
Came in terrible quickly in that show.
And into a little file folder like that, okay, and I brought them home. And it was everybody's writing that they'd had sent in and everything like that. And what we did was we cut apart the important lines and the unimportant lines and read them and pasted them up together in a way that they seemed to make a lot more sense. And oftentimes there was big spaces between them, and in groups of 5 and 6 and 8 and 10, we would fill in the spaces with what was happening to us right then as we were reading it. Okay, and then we'd get a finished product and we'd cut that apart and paste it up in a different way that made more sense. You heard stuff that Greg read in there that you can identify with lines that are in the basic text today that sound very familiar. And they've survived, but they haven't maybe been one idea after another like that is. Okay, what happened then? That's how this word was developed. And then this, plus all the input that we got from this, got cut and pasted and put together, workshopped, improved, cut and pasted, put together, workshopped and improved, cut and pasted, put together, workshopped and improved at Santa Monica. I think about three times. About three times. Plus, we weren't afraid anymore. We knew that what was happening among us was more than us, and we were confident that we weren't going to get in the way of it because there was a whole lot of us. And we went ahead and started to have the courage of our convictions and write things of our own and add more to it there at Santa Monica. A little bit in Memphis, but at Santa Monica more. Now, of course, all the negative influences that didn't really want to have a book tried to come on in and stop it at Santa Monica. After Santa Monica, we lost half of the results of Santa Monica, between Santa Monica and Warren. We lost them. Beautiful stuff that might be better than the basic text today. It's gone. It's gone because of somebody's carelessness, incompetence, or probably more likely the fact that a few people in the world didn't want Narcotics Anonymous to have a book and still don't. Because the other book that exists is probably better. But at any rate, then at Warren, Warren, I think, or at Santa Monica, I'm not sure which, we started to orient people, new people. And I got to be part of that. I really loved that. You know, take somebody who came to their first conference and say, it's okay, you can do it, be a part of. You know, some of the most beautiful stuff that I ever read written about recovery comes from a person who's very close to me, who speaks as if she has about an eighth grade education and is so dyslexic that the words that she spells seldom more than start with the correct letter. Would strike a whole lot of people as illiterate. And the deepest, most beautiful things, a lot of them, that I've read about recovery from addiction came from that person. And, you know, we recognized that and didn't put any qualifications on anybody, and that orientation, I think, was really neat and got people started quicker. Then everybody, when we came up with a finished thing at Warren with what we'd worked through the process and thought we're done with, everybody sat down at a big table, everybody who was there. The important concepts, I think, here are we ask everybody, anybody, to come, and then everybody who was there, I don't care if they had 2 days, nobody cared if they had 2 days clean, if they had a high school education or a degree in journalism. They sat down and had an equal vote on every word, every phrase in that proposed final product from the conference. And we sat down, and I really don't remember feeling that there was more than a couple chapters that didn't pass by a big enough margin that we really should have worked on harder at Warren or Florida. There maybe were a couple. But we finalized 1, 2, 3, and 8 at Warren. They're essentially the same as they are in fifth edition, whatever it is now, which is really the fifth printing, which is really not the book. I don't know what that is. Oh, that's complete. WC5 completed. And this is what it was typed from. This is the final. And it says on here, Warren final, Ohio original, Warren final, Ohio proof copy, da 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 da. And that's what it is. It was typed up, you know, and ran through a photocopier. Didn't work too good. It didn't. It didn't work good at all. And then we went on to Miami and finished the rest of the book. And the biggest pain was the fourth chapter, the steps. And it was all brought up to final form in the same manner. And more different personalities came in. But you know, the one thing that amazed me was the same fellowship representatives were at each group conscience table every time. You were there. You were there. And you were there. And Kermit had a lot different face. He was skinny and female.
Hook was big, skinny.
And you know what I'm trying to say? We were all there. And you may think that's a bunch of shit, but it's true. We were all there. Because they all sounded exactly the same, and a whole lot of different people were there. You know, I'm practical. And if you don't believe that from all this crap I'm saying, why get to know me? I'm practical. And that was the reality. We got in the way of the Spirit a lot of times, but every opinion that was significant in Narcotics Anonymous was represented at those tables. You know, people said things that were out of character, too, lots of times. People changed, too, lots of times. the probably the most important thing at that time for me was that I got to stay clean and grow in recovery. Well, anyway, the biggest problem was the fourth chapter, and the biggest mistake that's in the whole book's in the fourth chapter. We're not powerless over drugs. You know. Yeah. If we were powerless over drugs, we'd still be using. You know. The book was approvable, and it was approved, and it was printed. Somebody edited, and it got printed, and it got torn in half the next World Service Conference. And one time, World Services printed the basic text that the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous approved once, the second edition. That one and everything since has not been Fellowship approved, in my humble opinion, which I value greatly. The conference has been manipulated into voting for the rest of them, but the Fellowship hadn't even had any idea what they were or what the changes, what the ramifications of the changes were. And, you know, the important things, I'm going to read them the way I wrote them for myself in my notes, because I said, I promised myself I was going to repeat them three times, but I only got them once because they felt so good when I came out. I wrote them down. You know, if we communicate widely enough and are inclusive, the results of our work will be generally acceptable to the Fellowship. The NA World Lit Committee, which produced our basic texts, most of our pamphlets, and spawned the NA Way magazine, conscientiously included every NA member who wanted to help. Every NA member who wanted to help. Every NA member who wanted to help. Everyone who came to help, no matter how long they were clean, how well educated or literate they appeared to be, no matter how well behaved they were, had a say in what was written. Everyone. If the spiritual purpose of a project is right and the Fellowship sees the project as desirable and necessary, the money and talent for that project is always available. We don't have to be conned into funding services. If we serve in surrender and are inclusive, the results of our committee work will far exceed those results which are predictable from summing the committee members' talents. Far exceed. And I think those are the three important points. And I think that's to me, that's the history of the basic text. Because anything can be written. Another big part of the history of the basic text, and Greg touched on it, is I don't think anybody in that World Lit Committee, which was the last World Lit Committee, because there hasn't been a World Lit Committee since then, because you can't be part of it. Everybody in that World Lit Committee that I know of felt that the basic text was the very, very best we can do. And of course it was approvable because y'all wrote it. We all wrote it. Of course it was approvable. But it never should be graven in stone. It never should be not revised. It needed revised. We're not powerless over drugs. That needs to get the hell out of there. There's a lot of other things that need to be deleted from that. Not this crap, this editing crap by reactionaries that want us to go back to 1939. But about growing as we grow in recovery. Making this book not more acceptable on doctors' tables, but to some addict. If I picked that book up today and was who I was in 1979, you gave me that book, I'd be dead. I'd be dead. As great as it is, as beautiful as it is, as wonderful as it is, if I focused on that we are not only powerless over drugs, but our addiction as well. Because the concept that made me alive today is I am powerless over addiction. Mine and yours and every addiction. I'm powerless over addiction. And Narcotics Anonymous is the only place I could hear that. And I don't want to cloud it up anymore. It's clouded up. Let's revise our book. Let's open this thing back up. Let's have service like we talked about here that resulted in our basic text and makes us all love NA. You know? Let's have a quiet, soft, loving, caring revolution and get things to the traditions, the 12 traditions again. You know, let's take our history and build on it. Let's take the history that we won't talk about because we haven't participated in it, and learn from it and change. And most of all, you know, let's not be so damn emotional as I am right now, and let's write down the facts.
As usual, we are running over and have run completely out of time. We will have an open podium at starting somewhere around 1 o'clock. And am I on Georgia time or what? What time is it locally?
11.
We're supposed to run another hour, aren't we? Okay. All right. All right. Next, gentlemen. Thank you.
I'll take a quick turn, then maybe we get Joseph back up here. Yeah, there are a lot of facts and figures and minutes and stuff like that that Greg and I are transferring to the committee here, working on a history book for NA, and you know, presumably some of y'all can or will or have do at any rate. That's a long overdue work. There's been no inventory taken, no assessment, no presentation of like facts, figures, you know, generally relevant material. What happened? When it happened? How was it effective? Was it the hardworkingness or the spirit of the thing that was more important at the time? Members have been drafted into World Services for about the last 5 or 6 years without having any real knowledge of how we worked, the principles that we embraced, and that got the results where nothing else would, for about the last 7 years. Now, the reason is that we got done with the basic text. We were not on an ego trip. It was almost a mark of glory among us that we were able to let go and walk away and not try to rule and control and decide. Unfortunately, and we thought we'd left a broad written record of how everything got done and what happened and all. And unfortunately, those broad written records got, like, just put on the shelf, and, like, the newly elected chairs, they were going to win the war in Vietnam. And then a year later, when they halfway knew the stuff, or 2 years later, they would get replaced with even a rawer, newer recruit who is even more distant from the techniques. And so this whole lit movement era that we've been talking about that's produced, you know, the $1 million basic text, came to be seen as like a business deal worked up by some volunteer nincompoop local volunteer service workers, and who were actually a bunch of clowns, and they were going to do it right because they had millions of dollars and they were serious business people and did approved corporate practices. And what they really did was skin the cat. They cooked the goose. There ain't no more golden eggs. The literature process is dead. Dead, dead, dead as a doornail, da-da-da-da-da-da. Dead is God. Which means it can start in again anytime you want it to. Get it? But I mean, it's like, you know, people think the lit process is dead, and in certain exterior ways it is. It can resume anytime you want it to. What we thought maybe was to step down, let go, let God, give it a few years. We really didn't foresee, I don't think Greg did, Jim did, or Bo did, or Joe did, although you wonder about Joe, exactly all the infighting and all the people who would suddenly get a great personal interest in service DNA for $100,000 a year. It's 7 years later, and I think we need to get something going. It's been a long time since we've gotten anything approvable in NA. And a 23-page report to the fellowship, the World Lit Chair today, put out a very long-headed, misleading document. And the best thing about it is that it's obviously based on insufficient information and erroneous hearsay and so forth. It contradicts itself within its own letter. I mean, it says things like, the fellowship was encouraged by the open participatory conferences, so much work was done at Chicago. But we're going to change all that and do the staff team approach. I mean, it actually in the same letter says that the fellowship loves the open participatory conferences. Be that as it may, and we know the guidelines say you can't hire professional writers, but we're going to do it anyway. Hope you like it. Okay, anyway, this great 23-page exposé on the history of the NA Lit process devotes three paragraphs on one page to the entire time period that we're all talking about and that all your approved literature comes from. I mean, the situation is that aggressive. They've got the power, the control, the elected service positions, and access. How much is the annual cash flow now? Is it like $6 million or 5 or 6 or 7? Or they have your checkbook, actually. In a letter to a friend, I wrote and I said, it feels like we let the kids take the car out of the town with the credit cards, and it's time they come home.
Don't you?
Not right now.
Well, hey, come over and talk about the approval form thing, the Turkey Day thing, and the conference after that that did the pamphlets. Nobody's talked about that shit. Talk about those things that people haven't talked about.
I can't remember.
You
can. Such harassment. I'm still an addict. My name's Joseph from Memphis. I can't remember which thing came first or which came second. But like Jim says, it really doesn't matter. I kind of have to go along with what a lot of y'all think and what Jim and Bo and Greg have shared about the process and the spiritual movement and how it's kind of gotten stuck in the mud now. And it's evident in the work and the quality that's come out and the amount of participation and the growth of NA as a whole. I think from my perspective, from my experience, and my thoughts and my feelings and my wanderings around the country and the conversations and as things are today is that Bo used to say that the camp followers have gotten into the fellowship now and have riding on what used to be and trying to make something that worked better by doing it different and in a different process, and it really hasn't gone, even though that amount of money's floating around the fellowship now and NA truly might be growing, but still as far as, and there are probably addicts, many addicts, more addicts today staying clean, but as far as the world is concerned, Narcotics Anonymous, and I think we're a big part of that, is still a second-class organization because there's probably not one treatment center or institution or governmental agency or private organization that puts Narcotics Anonymous number one on the list in their recommendations, in their program, or wherever like that. And I think we've had a lot to do with that on our actions and the way we conduct ourselves. And I think several years ago we missed the boat when we were going up toward the growth factor, and we peaked out the Peter principle. We went so far, and then the spiritual principles got put out of the side, so to speak, and we ceased to grow spiritually as an organization, and we is still in a second class organization. In our behavior and our actions and our respect that the community has of us, whether it's law enforcement or treatment or professionals or other fellowships or whatever. And my big thing today is try to do things differently and try to not act differently to people please other people or organizations, but to grow up and be a different kind of example rather than just arrogant, streetwise person. I get so tired of meetings, and I have for a long time, that you can't, there's so much profanity going on, and that you lose the context. People don't, a lot of addicts don't seem to know how to communicate without using street gutter language, and it seems to be an ego thing and a macho thing and a lack of self-respect. And I think that shows in the growth of our fellowship of what we could have been and what we are today. And a lot of times today I feel worse going to meetings after I get out of them than even if I didn't go. And I never thought I would be that way, because I've always been a day at a time and a moment at a time, and meetings, as the book says, strengthen our recovery rather than hinder it. And the feelings and the thoughts and the spiritual principles. And it's a lot different today. It's a lot more watered down today than the spiritual principles as I understood them and tried to grow into them and learn them. And as it started in Atlanta in 79 in my recovery, and then to Kansas, and then to back to Memphis to the Third World Literature Conference. I see, yeah, Greg's got a great book, and I've got a whole set of books over here, the progression of the growth of recovery. And Greg, one time when we had what I consider one of the most wonderful four-step guys in the world, we sat down in my living room and with other literature, and Greg and I and on the phone and composed the four-step guide as it used to be. And that was the greatest four-step guide that was group conscious and put out that I've ever seen, and all the ones from other organizations, private and non-profit. And it got watered down and changed, and not by the group process system. And a lot of other literature has happened that way too. And I don't know what's going to take to change. I've kind of lost my incentive and my motivation. When I first came around, and as both, what's happening with the book and where is it going? Where are the people from years and years ago? Why aren't they working on it? And one person I met after another, they said, "Well, we just got tired of the crap and the deceitfulness, and it wasn't worth the effort, and so we just went on and took care of our recovery." And I used to criticize those kind of people. Why'd you give up? Why weren't you here for me? And slowly but surely, all the negativity and all the hostility and all the deceitfulness and all the egos and all the self-will, finally it got to a point too where I had to say, well, I have to take care of myself, you know, rather than saying I'm going to be here for the addict tomorrow, because their addicts several years ago were not here for me because they gave up and went somewhere else. And I was very critical of others because they went wherever they went to take care of themselves, because of the negativity and the hostility and the dishonesty and deceit. And so I don't see a lot of things changing in that regard today. And I think new literature and refreshing literature and with a spiritual content of out of sex, drugs, and rock and roll in recovery, and into spiritual principles of growth and surrender and acceptance and joy and upfrontness in and out of meetings, and how that expresses itself and shows in our literature in the past, and how it might could in the future. I think that's the hope. That's the hope for me. And they were mentioning the pamphlets and how they developed and how they came out, and I can't get into too much detail on that, and the detailed minds are a lot better at that. I just was part of the process of helping things to happen, doing what I was told to do, and trying to be a part of and help things to happen of the greater whole. And I hope that can continue today, and we can have through this type of group setting and others around the country, and maybe we can get that spiritual movement back into the Narcotics Anonymous as a whole on a worldwide basis. When we sent the tapes of the book, the great book, to Australia, we got some and asked for input that came out that we're going to do the white approval form that we also had the privilege of working on and printing in Memphis, the Slickback book. part of the comment we got back is that y'all keep trying to tell us what defined God and how we write things and how we express it. That was the comment of the fellowship in Australia on the tapes. And as they critiqued the Gray Book is how you trying to tell us what to do and how to believe and what God is or isn't. And that was a key to us to turn around and look at things differently. And it's drifted back into the world setting again. It's kind of like the tail shaking the dog again. And so I hope the process of the we, and not that little small book, but the we can get back into the fellowship again. So we can become a first-rate, full of self-respect and pride organization that we once was going to, but we never quite made it to the top of the mountain. Kind of like Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, he's been to the mountain and he's seen the promised land, but he may not get there. And here in recent times, I don't know if myself or anybody else in this room will see a first-class organization unless we get together again and instill in our own communities, in our own groups, in our own actions, as it filters up from each individual attic at a local level on up to the World Service Conference, if we will ever rise to the promised land to be a spiritual organization. I like to, in the way I look at things today and the development of literature, is kind of like World Service and Narcotics Anonymous as a whole is kind of like the Reagan administration and the Bush administration. Anything's okay is when they want to do it, how they can rationalize it and justify it, and a lie's okay, stealing's okay, do it, hiring a professional writer without group conscious approval is okay, and many, many, many other things like that, and they get by with it because they're pretty slick. And that's part of the thing that I understand we were supposed to lose in recovery is the slickness and the street sense and the manipulation. I'm not too much for positive manipulation, as people say. So I think the hope for that is how we conduct ourselves in our meetings and in our literature and in that process, that spiritual process. That somehow, for many years now, the fellowship as a whole is lost. And even though we're dealing with millions of dollars worth of World Service money and of buying the literature that is, what it could have been and what it could be in the future and the amount of human lives it can save in a truly spiritual way is beyond my imagination. But today I don't think it's going to reach that way unless we're changing what's happening. And that's through the literature process and through true group conscience and caring what goes on at a group level and area level and regional level and world level. And that's something that's been lost as a whole for several years now, as I feel it. So that's all I have for now. Thanks.
My name's Glenn. I'm an addict.
Hi, Bob.
I want to make a couple of observations to things that Joseph was pointing out, because I see much, I think we all up here see very close to a same picture. At least there are a lot of people gathered at the foot of the mountain. I mean, they're in a position to start climbing right away, much more than there was 10 or 15 years ago. And another interesting thing, because we really felt when we stepped down and all that we were passing on a working process that was going to get better, because not only were the people coming in as sincere and talented as we happened to be, but they were going to receive the benefit of what we were passing on to them, and plus come up with new good stuff itself. I mean, that's sort of what I think we felt was going to happen. Okay, what happened? Back up and punt. When I got involved with it, and when I helped these guys get involved with it, I had been studying under Greg and Jimmy and several others for several years. And we had a chance to make our mistakes on a small level. Clean in 74, trip to LA 77, Didn't get elected World Lit Chair till 79. When you got people moving from area, regional, world level in a couple of 3 years, they elected the chair of the world, a world committee, and have no idea of the background, the complexity of that committee, and just how careful we were to tune everything into the will of the fellowship. That's a political catchphrase, the way to get elected. To us, it's real principle. Oh my God, oh hell yeah, you gotta do that, are you kidding? I mean, there's a lot of them addicts out there. You don't want to get them pissed off. That's kind of our attitude. And take it real serious. You know, try to be servants worthy of trust. I mean, you know, these weren't catchphrases to us. And we would really, you know, this is as true at 3 in the morning between Memphis and Atlanta or wherever, as it would be in front of a big cloud, you know, at the annual World Service Conference. And another interesting thing, I don't know if I just thought of it, but we have sure given the corporate mentality a chance to improve the lit process, and they've killed it, hiring professional writers. You know, it's easier for those bastards to write a check for $100,000 than it is for them to call up Jim Miller and ask for help. What's the economics of that? Or to call up Bo Sewell, or call up Greg Pierce, call up Joe Proctor. The men that, you know, and there's some women around too, who pioneered our lit process from a dream into a reality and produced the basic text. Do you know that they won't call us? Do you know that if they hear that I said this at Huntsville, they'll say, oh, bad-mouthing us again. It's like I'm supposed to work double time being a nice guy and not bringing up all these unpleasant realities, and they can do anything they fucking please. Okay, that's up to a point. The point is, when I see them abusing their positions of trust and responsibility and starting to squander and waste the bounty that we gathered together so lovingly, so painstakingly, then I'll step in if there's an opportunity and I'm invited somewhere like this. And all I got to do is easy. I got to tell the truth. Y'all got to figure out where to go from there. Or maybe we can work together on it. But, you know, the corporate mentality strategy, I think what drives Joe crazy based on what he shared with me about his first step and how he got into this program is, in many ways, Joe has been a hustler. In many ways, Joe knows how to skin a cat. And when he assiduously tries to restrain himself from playing these games on you and in the fellowship and be a bigger, better politician, don't you know that we could all, everybody at this table could be getting, could have been getting $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 a year for the past several years. All we had to do was brown those a couple of folks. All we had to do was sell out, compromise a few principles. And we just won't do it. Sorry. It's real to us. I'm not going to put a razor to my girlfriend's neck and pull it. You know, compromising those principles would be equivalent emotionally to me. Nope, I'm not going to go for that. Nope, not even for $1 million. Not for $50 million. I mean, fuck you very much. How dare you offer me some shit like that? You know, I mean, I've been gassed in D.C. I carried a loaded six gun because I had to. You know. What in the hell? Well, who do you think I am? What kind of shithead do you think I am that I would sell out my people that way? And you know, and we're still here. You know, and then the zoo crew have had their 6 or 7 years. Boot them out. Let's get started again. This is a joke.
The time has come. We got enough time for some questions. If y'all have any questions or specifics that you'd like to ask, yes, Bob.
My name is Bob, and I'm at.
Hi, Bob.
I can't help but wonder because the
supposedly a very democratic organization. It starts with the individual and the group and goes all up the world. How did it transpire whereby the world
Okay, my name is Bob Nomadic. I'm wondering, and hopefully some of you gentlemen can help me understand, is how it has transpired from what y'all had, you know, with the individuals all over the place kind of putting together this book and everything, to where a few people somewhere on the other side of the country or something have taken this over. What happened? I mean, how were they able to, is what I'm wondering. How did it transpire that they were able to do that without somebody being able to stop them? What happened? I mean, it sounds like there was, when nobody was looking, there was this coup d'etat and a handful of people took over. And I'm wondering, you know, what the fuck happened, if you'll excuse my language. And what can be done to reverse that or change that? Because to me, that's intolerable. You know, somebody mentioned that this was a second-rate organization, and maybe on the top level it is, because what disturbs me is I've worked in treatment centers, and I've read articles about addiction and recovery and all this, and usually at the end of the article or something, they'll have a few addresses of organizations, and NA is rarely mentioned. They'll have like the Council on Drug Abuse and other 12-step fellowships, but they won't have NA, and I'm saying, what's wrong? There's something wrong there that's not being done. The treatment centers I've worked at take people to other fellowships. They don't take them to NA meetings most of the time. That shouldn't be that way. Something is wrong somewhere, and I don't think it's at the group level. The groups I go to are strong. The meetings are good. The individuals, at least some of them, a lot of them, are working. But somewhere, as it gets away from that, something's wrong somewhere. And I want to know what we can do about that, what I can do about that. Thank you.
Before I get bowled over, I got something to say. I'm Jim Manatic. And I want to just share my perception of how it happened. And that's some folks who feel very strongly that they know what's best for Narcotics Anonymous, and are able to share very convincingly with others who would like to feel the same way and to whom their ego feeding and power superiority appeals suggest all these folks that World Service is different from the rest of service, and they reinforce in themselves and in the others that they surround themselves with the concept that they all together collectively know what's better for Narcotics Anonymous than Narcotics Anonymous. Got control. These folks got control of fellowship-wide communication, so that all the fellowship hears is what they work out among themselves. Now, I say they for convenience sake, but it's me. And it's you. And it's untreated addiction in all of us. And it's ignorance of and lack of surrender to spiritual principle in all of us. And it's our fault. How did it happen? We let it happen.
Yeah, and I want to follow up on the complacency. Because I think that's the one word I would use to say what happened. Some of that was built into the process, though. You see, when you had to go 3,000 miles or 2,500 miles to find out what was happening in NA, when you had to go 800 miles to find another NA member, when you had to drive 100 miles to a meeting, every week. When there was no convenient vehicle, like a basic text, when there weren't 100 meetings in a community, you had to scuffle to survive. We don't have to scuffle to survive anymore. In fact, I kind of think that we've given our primary purpose at the group level to area committees and treatment centers. I think that the service structure, area committees, regional committees, world services have done exactly what we wanted them to do. Take care of it for us. I'm too busy playing. I'm too busy learning how to live. I don't want any part of that. You guys take care of it. See, and I...